Switzerland! The U.S. go up! What a goal from Carlos Bocanegra!
Going to try a long hit! What a goal from Lloyd! This is spectacular! It's hit with no regard for humanity! Is this the moment for Shaqiri? Yes, it is! Switzerland! And Shaqiri has scored in the 90th minute! That was worth the price of admission alone!
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, let's get after it tonight here on Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5. Really looking forward to this show tonight because we do have a couple of really interesting guests on the program tonight here, and including the legendary Houston Astros play-by-play man, the one and only Bill Brown will join me here tonight to talk a number of things. He's also an author, Bill, so we're looking forward to having Bill Brown, 30 years as a play-by-play man for the Houston Astros. He'll be on the show here tonight. Buzz Carrick of ThirdDegree.net, which covers FC Dallas. He'll be on the program here tonight, and we'll talk a number of things up there. What's going on with FC Dallas? Of course, they played Lionel Messi in the Cotton Bowl here recently in Inter Miami, so we'll get thoughts on that game as well. By the way, they were 11-10-13 last year, seventh in the West. And we spoke about how LA defended last year. They only gave up 37 goals. But they've hinted at some big signings up there. So, you know, we'll kind of get a lay of the land. I've had some people reach out and say, hey, let's talk a little bit about FC Dallas. Let's talk about Austin FC and keep it within the great state of Texas where we have three Major League Soccer teams. How about that? 713-780-3776 is a number to call in here tonight. You can do that throughout the show. 713-780-ESPN. And hit me up on Twitter and Instagram at Glenn Davis Sock at Soccer Matters GD. And, of course, podcast of this show at ESPN975.com. Spotify, Google, Apple, wherever you get your podcasts. We'll talk about that. We'll also talk with Buzz about Jesus Ferreira, the U.S. international, and also striker for FC Dallas. Had a big offer from Spartak Moscow. He wanted to take the offer and go play in Russia. And then so did FC Dallas because they were going to make a pretty penny off him. And then Major League Soccer blocked that due to the war between Russia and the Ukraine. So that's what we have there tonight. All right. So there's our second and third segment. If you want to get in on the show tonight, this is the time to call right now, okay? So 713-780-3776, African Cup of Nations. We know what's happening in the round of 16. We'll go over some of those teams. But there was a really funny soundbite that came out recently, and it was Jurgen Klopp talking to a reporter. And Klopp had made a comment about this little tournament in Africa. Now, if you know Jurgen Klopp, there was no malice intended here, but this is an interesting exchange here between a journalist and Jurgen Klopp, the head coach of Liverpool. And bear in mind, his star player, Mo Salah, got injured playing in the African Cup of Nations. Here it is.
I think it's an insult to the players. It's an insult to the fans. It's an insult to the people. And it's an insult to the continent.
Stop. Stop. It's all good. I didn't mean it like that. I didn't mean it like that. I don't know why you understand it like that, to be 100% honest.
That was what you said. I listened to the press. That was what you said.
Oh, no, no. I know it. I know it. I know.
Continent in Africa.
I didn't mean it like that. Okay, come on. Did you say what you say, and then I start what I want to say. If you are not finished, come on. Tell me what you want to say.
I'm done. I said, I think you are the continent, and I apologize. That's it. I'm done. Yeah.
So
thank you.
I'm really not. It was not even close, and not even my idea in my mind that I want to talk about AFCON as a little tournament, or about a continent of Africa like a little continent. Not at all. So what I meant is, because people said, and if you watch the full press conference, then you might have if you wanted to understand it the right way, you could have understood it the right way, because they said there's no international break anymore until March. And I said, oh, there's a little tournament in January. And I didn't mean a little tournament. I just mean, like you say it, when something, there's still a tournament. It's ironic. There's still a tournament, a big one. We lose our best players to the African Cup.
So that was Jurgen Klopp there. So it was all about the mention of a little tournament, which he knows it's not a little tournament. I don't think he meant it like that. This is a guy that loves football, who's not disrespectful to people. But the commentator wanted to make a bigger issue out of it. I don't know if you think it is. Maybe you do out there. I would think he'll, like all of us these days, you have to be very measured with your words if you're on air talking football, whether it's TV or radio. I can assure you that. And one day you'll learn about a story about me. 713-780-3776 is the number. 713-780-3776. By the way, big thank you to our presenting sponsor, John Daspit, the Daspit Law Firm. It's DaspitLaw.com. 713-CALL-NOW. 713-CALL-NOW. All right, knockout rounds of African Cup of Nations. Angola, Namibia. Namibia, for the first time ever, gets to the knockout rounds. Spicy one this weekend. Super Eagles, Nigeria versus Cameroon. That is this Saturday. That is a big one. That's two of the African giants. Equatorial Guinea versus Guinea. Equatorial Guinea has a fantastic story. I mentioned this on last night's show. The leading goal scorer in the tournament up to this point has five. Emilio Nsu. 5 goals in 3 games. He's currently playing in the Spanish third division, which I think is a pretty cool story. Spent time at Middlesbrough, spent time at Mallorca, was never really a prolific goal scorer, produced goals, but not prolific. And he's leading the AFCON with 5 goals. So that's pretty interesting. Egypt against Congo. Mo Salah has gone back to Liverpool. It's pretty iffy if he's going to get back in the tournament. Cape Verde versus Mauritania, which is another great story. Senegal, Ivory Coast. Now, that's a host country who snuck in as a fourth place team. For me, when we have these tournaments, I always like to see the players and of the host nation advance, do well, keep the host nation involved, keep everybody excited. So I'm glad the Ivory Coast got in, but they've got to find their game. They fired their coach, by the way. Mali, Burkina Faso, Morocco versus South Africa. So you got some heavyweights not in there. The Black Stars of Ghana not involved. No Algeria and Riyad Mahrez. Algeria won it in 2019. No Tunisia. So those are some pretty big teams that are missing. By the way, speaking of Nigeria and their striker, Victor Osimhen, we're starting to hear Arsenal has some interest for him in the summertime. He does have a release clause at Napoli after signing another deal. Chelsea interest, and of course, Saudi Arabia. And that's where you say to yourself, you know, I don't see him going to Saudi Arabia from a sporting perspective. Why would you want to do that? You're playing in the best league in the world. Well, there's a simple answer. Why? Because you want the money. He's not going to get the treatment over there like he does at Napoli or in the Premier League, because it's a much different thing. 713-780-3776. By the way, we put out the question, the Soccer Matters question of the week was, what player influenced you to love the game of soccer, the game of football? Mine was Johan Cruyff. We got a number of really, really good ones from a number of differing people. All right. Now, if you're a Major League Soccer fan and have been involved with it since its inception, like me in 96, right? It's hard to believe. Every year I've called games in Major League Soccer, mostly TV, last year radio for the first time. You know, there's always those watershed moments, you know, especially in the beginning when we were developing confidence for the league, when we would find these measurements that we would say, and this is why MLS is a good league, right? Well, here's one of them. Brandon Vasquez, FC Cincinnati, gets signed by Monterrey. Everybody called this, oh, it's a lateral move. It's not a great move. He should go to Europe. I contend differently. I think it's a positive move he goes to Mexico. He's in one of the great capitals of football in Mexico, which is going to be a host nation for the World Cup. There's two teams down there. Some might even say in this hemisphere, this may be the soccer city in this hemisphere, with no disrespect to Guadalajara, no disrespect to Mexico City. Rayados and Tigres. I mean, if we haven't learned that living here in Houston, with the amount of those fans that go back across the border to watch those games, support those teams, we're kidding ourselves. But when in his second appearance he comes in, makes a run between two center backs, powers a header home, this is a great way to start. You always want a striker to get off the snide early, score a goal, produce something, convince a fan base, especially one as big as Monterrey, which, you know, FC Cincinnati is well supported, but it ain't like Monterrey Rayados, okay? Let's be honest. So here's what the goal sounded like last night. Brandon Vasquez scoring for Monterrey after a move from FC Cincinnati in Major League Soccer.
Retrasa el esférico con Gobea, todo lo trata de cubrir ahí el cuadro queretano cuando viene el servicio, el remate y el gol. Gol! Gol! De Brandon Vázquez.
So it ends a 1-1 draw, but absolutely wonderful to see Brandon Vázquez. And I think, you know, that's when all of Major League Soccer is pulling for you. Now, another one out there today, Christian Pulisic. And by the way, 713-780-3776, who's the one player that, you know, just made you love the game. And by the way, it could have been a college player, could have been a professional player, national team, doesn't matter. Role models come in a lot of shapes and differing forms. There's no doubt about that. 713-780-3776. I'll read a few more of them today. But back to Christian Pulisic. Went back to an interview that Christian Pulisic was involved with on ESPN. And listen to what he says here. This is about six. This is right before or right after he signed at Milan. Here is soundbite number four, Christian Pulisic. And this is another reason why you realize what a wonderful player he is, what a wonderful captain for the U.S.
I'm just proud to be here. It doesn't matter where I'm from, to be playing for a club like this, obviously to represent my country and to be the first one to come here and hopefully, you know, yeah, make a big impact at this club. That's what I want to do. I want to come and I want to help this team to win titles. And that's what I'm here to do. That's what this club has done in all its history. And I'm just thrilled to get the chance to do that.
And we do know Pulisic was voted the Serie A Player of the Month, and that validates the move to the Serie A from Chelsea. It's great to see him at Milan, such a storied club. You go back to the names like Paolo Maldini, Franco Baresi. I mean, on and on it goes. The history is absolutely just remarkable. Zlatan Ibrahimovic. And, you know, it was interesting in the beginning. He's doing well, and people are conditioning his success, saying, oh, he's not in the Premier League. I don't think people understand the degree of difficulty it is for the American player going to these massive clubs, having to produce, having to perform, having to convince. Well, he's convincing, and he fits really good in the Serie A. Direct, goes at people. He's got a lot of confidence from the manager, Stefan Pioli. So we'll roll that soundbite right here. And Pulisic talks about it. The importance of confidence from your manager here.
And he's, yeah, that's exactly it. I think he made me feel like he wanted me here. He wanted me to be a part of this team. And he saw me fitting into this team. And that's what I wanted to hear. Yeah, obviously I want a fair opportunity like everyone else to have the chance to come here. I still need to earn my place, of course. But it felt like, you know, I was wanted here. And I have a great opportunity if I, you know, if I show good effort, good attitude every day and train well, that I'm going to get the opportunity to go out and perform.
How about that? That's human nature. Everybody wants to be wanted wherever they are and they're working. Right? Everybody. Kamo 11 says, Zidane and Ronaldinho, those are the guys who influenced me. 713-780-3776. Jonathan says, I think Morocco's going to win. the African Cup of Nations. Here's a good one. Roberto Baggio, Italy 90. How about that? From do.a. That's do.a. Roberto Baggio is a good one. Manny says Inter Milan's Zlatan Ibrahimovic. Another good one. All right, we're going to come back. And this is, by the way, the Smiths. We're going to come back. It's going to be Buzz Carrick from ThirdDegree.net in Dallas. He will come on. We're going to talk a little bit of the Messi factor. We're going to talk about the friendly that was just played at the Cotton Bowl, 32,000. And we're also going to remind you, Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5 is brought to you by John Daspit, the Daspit Law Firm, personal injury attorney. You get in a car accident, boat, motorcycle. There's only one firm to go to. It's John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. Car, boat, motorcycle, maritime. You might work in a plant, refinery, construction. You get in an accident, it's one place to call. It's the Daspit Law Firm. 713, call now. DaspitLaw.com, bringing soccer talk to you.
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
Correa. Angel Correa! Memphis! The Subs team up! And the Metropolitano is on its feet! Atleti lead 1-0!
He's in the birch, to come back. Tomorrow still is not ready, but it's close. Yeah, training camp was good. Trained some sessions, and the last 2 days here he trained. So, but it's not perfect, and we wait a little bit more.
So that last soundbite was Pep Guardiola on the return of Erling Haaland. So Manchester City right now getting back Kevin De Bruyne, getting back Erling Haaland. We'll keep a big eye on that. And by the way, they continue to grab young talent. They have just signed at 18 years of age Claudio Echeverri, who plays for the under-23 Argentine national team. 18 years old, 5 appearances at River Plate. Highly touted youth player. The rich get richer. He's loaned back to River Plate until 2025. But if you think of the portfolio of teams that Manchester City have, well, here's a few of them. Girona, who's making real news in La Liga. Mumbai City in India, Yokohama in Japan, Melbourne City in Australia, New York City FC in Major League Soccer, Palermo in Italy, Lamel in Belgium, and Bolivar in Bolivia. So these are all clubs that are a part of the City Group, and these are places that players can all end up at. But Claudio Echeverri is a big signing. A lot of my Argentine friends telling me this is a real talent, one to keep an eye on, coming from, getting signed from River Plate, but he is quickly loaned back until 2025. Friday, it's City Spurs, FA Cup fourth round tie. Ange Postecoglou says James Maddison could start in that game for Spurs. Newcastle striker Callum Wilson, interest from Manchester United, Arsenal, and Chelsea. 7 goals and 14 appearances for the Magpies. 46 in 102 appearances, so pretty big there. And Kylian Mbappe taking a huge pay cut if he leaves PSG for Real Madrid. What's it to him now? Is it career? Is it money? Because he'll take a big pay cut going to Real Madrid. That's the challenge. He's out of contract in the summer. I'm a little tired of the dance. It's been going on too long. I don't know. All right, let's welcome in from ThirdDegree.net. He's working hard today. He's off doing his podcast, probably 3-4 minutes off it. He's Buzz Carrick. What's up, Buzz?
Glenn, how are you, sir?
Very good. Appreciate you coming on. Full disclosure, Buzz was a producer on a lot of the Dynamo TV matches 2 years ago. And so he's up in Dallas. He's always had this very good website that covers everything FC Dallas called ThirdDegree.net. So we're glad to get him on. You tired of Mbappe's dance, Buzz? Is he staying? Is he going with Real Madrid and PSG?
It feels like one of those guys that's enjoying the limelight of it being a topic of discussion. He probably made up his mind a long time ago, and it's just enjoying letting people talk about him.
Yeah, I mean, listen, if he wants the career challenges, he's got to leave PSG. If he wants the comfort and the beautiful Parisian life and all the money, he can stay. He can go to Real Madrid in La Liga. He'd have to take a pay cut. I think at this point, I don't know, money may not be an object, but he'll be out of contract in the summer. But anyway, let's get into a little FC Dallas talk. Well, first of all, FC Dallas had the dramatic game with Lionel Messi during the regular season, and now they had another crack at Inter Miami. 32,000 come out on a really tough, cold, rainy night to the Cotton Bowl in Dallas. We have been starved of Messi here in Houston, but you know, just some thoughts on that friendly game the other day, and maybe the buzz it caused in Dallas, both pre-match and post-match.
Yeah, you know, the an independent promoter or an Argentine promoter put that thing together, and so it was out of FC Dallas' hands in terms of the prices, which were pretty steep. And to manage to get 30,000 people out at 5 o'clock on a, you know, right in the middle of rush hour on a rainy, rough night in Dallas is pretty impressive. Now, in that big 90,000 seat stadium, 30,000 looks terrible, but Dallas only draws, you know, 20 at home, and they got 30,000 people in that place for the Messi game. It shows you the power that Messi even has in the preseason scenario. People weren't even sure he was going to play. You know, there's no guarantees in the preseason scenario, and people turned out and watched it and enjoyed it, and FC Dallas scored early and held on, and Miami looks like a team in preseason mode. We're pretty ineffective, but so was Dallas. So it was a cold, rainy night, but I think people probably enjoyed themselves in terms of the nice spectacle of the Cotton Bowl.
Yeah, if it was $50 tickets, which is what I heard, times 32,000, that's a cool $1.6 million just off the gate alone. So it's not bad money. All right, FC Dallas. Jesus Ferreira, that was the other big one recently. Spartak Moscow made a big move for him. It seems Jesus Ferreira wanted to go. It seems FC Dallas wanted to make this transaction, and then MLS came in due to the war and blocked it because of the Russia-Ukraine war that's going on.
Yeah, and MLS has not talked publicly about exactly why, I don't think, but I was able to confirm on my end, you know, what Tom Bogert had reported, that this $13 million bid, and then Jesus was negotiating terms, and the Hunts were willing to sell. I've been saying for years that the Hunts' valuation on Jesus was around that $12.5 million, and somebody came in at the prices, so they were ready and willing to sell him, and the league stopped it. So Jesus is not really very happy about it, but his focus is going to have to be on the here and now, because, you know, as well as anybody, Glenn, there's not a lot of people out there that can afford the $13 million buy price or Jesus' contract. There's only five or six leagues in the world that are up from those numbers. And how many of those teams are going to want a guy who's on the fringe of the U.S. national team doing good things in MLS, but hasn't broken through as a big star by any means internationally speaking. So there's nothing else on the table for him right now. So he's going to have to buckle down here and try and play in what looks like it's going to be a slightly changed system with him playing a slightly different role as they go forward.
And that's a mental challenge, I think, too, because, you know, I mean, this was a big moment for him. It would have been a big moment for FC Dallas. He's been a great servant to the club. Do you think, in your opinion, do you think MLS in that situation should mix politics with, you know, stopping a guy making a move in his career that both him and his club want to make?
Well, it's tricky. FC Dallas has never been paid by Boa Vista for Reggie Cannon. They've never gotten any money. So they've gotten burned before by situations that may or may not be great, economically speaking. And it's possible that MLS may have tried to save the Hunts from themselves. You know, I'm not privy to the details on the MLS level. Certainly the player really wanted this move. You know, Jesus, well, he's an American. He wasn't born here. And like his father, he has a little bit of this warrior Ronin mentality in the sense of like a willingness to travel the world to play. Hasn't done it yet, but I know he has it in him because he's talked about it openly. He's talked about his dad and the way his dad's, you know, career has taken him all over the world. So, you know, I know it's a thing he wants to do eventually, but I also know that he's very content to try and compete here in the meantime, because the kid knows that, like, if no one else is coming in right now, you're going to have to do something special. You have to be in the MVP conversation again if you're going to want to get some offers coming in. Now, as his deal's running out over the next two seasons, the price will have to go down because there'll be less time left on his contract, and eventually he'll be free and be able to go. He doesn't have any option years on his deal. So at some point he'll just go on his own, so the price will need to come down, of course. But he's going to have to do some things if he's going to get some bidders between now and that deal running out.
Buzz Carrick, ThirdDegree.net. And by the way, you know, a lot of these Chinese deals and the Russian deals, there's an awful lot of guys that have not gotten paid in some of these things and have come back. There's no question about it. So, you know, maybe MLS stepping in for that reason. But again, you know, at some point you think that should be the club and Dan Hunt and the Hunt Sports Group and a star striker making that decision. He's a real pro, though. I don't think you're going to see any drop-off in his competitive nature, although, you know, that always has to be a concern, too. You know, that may be a big bubble burst.
Yeah, we definitely here in Dallas saw Paul Ariola's play fall off after he didn't make the World Cup team, and we saw Sebastian Legette have some off-field struggles related to his personal life that caused a bit of an outage here. So, like, we all know that off-field things can affect your on-field play. But that's going to be down to him. He's a very, very competitive young man. He definitely wants to do really well here and wants to make that next step and knows he has to produce to make that next step. And the thing about MLS blocking this deal is that he's not mad at the Hunts. They were willing to help him. He's not mad at FC Dallas. He's mad at the league. And so he's going to want to prove some things, I think, rather than be like a pouting, for example.
All right. He's a big part of scoring goals next year. The FC Dallas only had 41 goals last season. A very good defending team, only conceded 37. 41 goals. Is there an overdependence on Jesus Ferreira?
Oh, yeah, by far, way too much. And the fall off from 2022 to 23 was what really, lack of goals from anybody else. And Jesus' second half of the season injury helps decrease those goals load too. But that's the reason why their TD Andres Zamata told me a week ago that they're out after a nine, because they want to put use Jesus more as a off striker off of a pure nine. And so they've been linked to a couple strikers, including Petar Musa, who plays for Benfica. Christian forward is the most recent one, but they've clearly been in the market. They've clearly been looking, and they're clearly trying to get one. The window's just about to go open, and then just at the Cotton Bowl game the other day, and all the messy hype, Dan Hunt was out there talking about how they're prepared to break their club transfer record, which is Alan Velasco for $8 million, to try and bring in a nine. So they're out there making moves and trying to do things. This is independent of Jesus being sold, because that deal had already fallen apart by the time Dan Hunt was talking about these measures. So we have expectation here that they're going to try and do something in this first window to try and alleviate that goal load on Jesus.
Yeah, that's the kind of thing that excites fans. By the way, all three teams in Texas looking for players in the nine position. And, yeah, he could play as a withdrawn forward or a second striker beautifully if he had the right guy in front of him. Alan Velasco, how big of a loss is that? He's going to be out for some time.
Yeah, he's with the ACL injury, and he's gone back home to Argentina, and he had the surgery down there, and he's been rehabbing down there, although the expectation is he'll be back here sometime relatively soon. The earliest he'll be back probably is August, maybe. You know, how effective he could be, you know, September, October, till end of the season, I'm not very optimistic. The team has ruled out any kind of season-ending IR move for him, so they really are hoping he can come back. At the end of last season, he had moved from playing that false wing. He had matured in his game. I moved him underneath in sort of a free eight kind of De Bruyne-ish 10 hybrid kind of role, trying to come out of midfield and create a little bit more. And that really had helped the team create over the last half of the season, last third of the season perhaps. And so they really had high expectations for him in that spot. How they're going to fill that role, they'll have to look to people like Legette or Jesus, if they do get the striker, Jesus can come back in and in a slightly different formation and play something similar. So they're going to have to make some adaptations, because it's a DP player you're missing. And you know, in this league, if you either miss on the signing or if you lose him for whatever reason, it's a big blow, because he's definitely a very young, talented player. And it is indeed the club's record buy, so they need him to come good.
DP's got to be your difference makers, I think, in most cases. I think we all realize that. Real quick here, Buzz, and it's ThirdDegree.net. Okay, that's where you get Buzz's podcasts. They're up on everything FC Dallas, believe me, in MLS. Is FC Dallas more relevant in the city?
No. No, we were just talking about this on our podcast. Well, you know, the highlights of the Messi game were all about Messi. And there was a play that made some of the highlights where Martin Paz made the Dallas goalkeeper made a spectacular save on Messi, and commenters are saying things like, oh, Messi misses. No, dude, that was a world-class save. And it's like, you know, Messi didn't miss. Messi doesn't miss, you know. It's just, it was all about Messi, you know, which is nice, great, awesome. But Dallas needs to figure out how to make themselves a little more relevant.
Was this a different group of fans that you saw in there, unique to FC Dallas games, I would think, right?
Yeah. A lot of maybe people there just for Messi. You know, they did a deal with where FC Dallas season ticket holders were able to get a ticket and go. So there were some of them there. But there was a massive contingent of people that were just there to see Messi. Hopefully, the club can turn some of them into fans and get them to come back to games up north in Frisco to the stadium. The club's done so much better. The attendance now is rising. It's going up. It's approaching 18,000 on average. Much, much better. But relevance in the market is different than actual attendance. And so far, it just isn't translating to the common sports fan yet that FC Dallas is a factor here in MLS.
Yeah, that's a great, great point. Great point. Buzz Carrick, thirddegree.net. Buzz, thank you so much for jumping on here tonight. We had another guest planned. You have subbed in beautifully. We will call you a super sub now.
Oh, thanks. You're welcome, Glenn. Anytime. You and I go way back, so it's always a pleasure to chat.
Yeah, we do. All the way back to the days of the Dallas Burn and the Cotton Bowl. How about that?
Yeah, way back.
I actually loved seeing the Cotton Bowl on the other night. It brought back a lot of great memories when Hugo Sanchez was there.
Oh, yeah, me too. It used to be the best surface in the league.
Yeah, Big Dave Durr. Those were great times. Buzz, thank you very much.
Sure thing, Glenn.
All right, we're going to take a break here. You know what they call Hugo Sanchez, who won the scoring title in Madrid? I mean, just unbelievable, historic Mexican player. Maybe the greatest ever. Maybe it's Rafa. I don't know. I know what my producer Guillermo would say. But they call Hugo now Ego Sanchez. Ego Sanchez in Mexico. 713-780-3776. Take a break. Show's brought to you by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. Big shout out here to our good friends at Hugh O'Connor's Pub out on I-10, Marquee Entertainment Center, whiskey, beer offerings, excellent, tremendous food, fish and chips, burgers, you name it, they've got it, bangers and mash. We'll take a break. We're coming back. Legendary, and I mean legendary, excited to do this interview. 30-year play-by-play man for the Houston Astros. He is Bill Brown, coming up next.
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
The skill that these guys have. Amrabat. Boufal. Hakimi. It's spilled. And it's there. And it's Hakim Ziyech, who puts the Atlas Lions ahead.
37th minute goal, and that was Zambia going down to Morocco. And Morocco, after that wonderful World Cup run that they had in Qatar, they are going to be one of the teams that could potentially be the favorites here to win the African Cup of Nations. So much going on. You know, Jose Mourinho was let go. The special one done at Roma. This is kind of old news now. But remember, Roma, a legendary club in the Italian Serie A, is owned by the Friedkin Group and Dan Friedkin here in Houston. You know the Gulf States Toyota, right? So out with the special one. And it is not fantastic. Arena was finishing out his contract. Ninth place in the Serie A. And then they got beat by Lazio, which is not a redeeming recipe if you're trying to keep your job in the Eternal City. I think that's pretty evident. I think his autocratic style of management now, it's a little harder to apply this now in the modern game. So that's one you got to really keep an eye on. This is a Black Rose Remedy, and we remind you the show is brought to you by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. John and his firm, personal injury attorneys. And we're about to get Bill Brown on here. So a couple things about Bill Brown. Texas Baseball Hall of Fame, Houston Astros Hall of Fame. He's written a number of books, including, and I hope there's some aspiring broadcasters out there, Sportscasting 101. But he's an incredibly humble guy. I've gotten to know him in the last couple of years, which has been a nice stroke of luck for me. He's worked with a lot of the legendary commentators, Alan Ashby, Jim Deshaies, Larry Durker, and he joins us now. Bill, thank you so much for coming on the program tonight.
My pleasure, and good to talk with you again.
It's always good. You're one of the most humble men in the business. 30 years with the Houston Astros. I mean, how do you look back on that at this moment in time?
I think I received a tremendous blessing from God in being, and not only to be in the city of Houston for 30 years, but to be working for the Astros. And true, not all of those years were memorable, but for someone who always wanted to do baseball broadcasting, how could you ever second guess anything like that that happens to you?
Bill, are those years when a team isn't doing well, and I can only imagine in baseball with the volume of games, that's really when you got to work as a commentator, right?
I think so. I think the whole question in your mind as a commentator is to make the game interesting. And if the team is not doing well, that requires a little more digging sometimes. But that's a part of what you accept when you get into this business. You have no idea how your team is going to do, but you can be consistent in your preparation and consistent in trying to keep the fans entertained.
So the Astros just had a big move. Bill Brown joining us here, play-by-play man, 30 years for the Houston Astros. He also was with the Cincinnati Reds, among a whole bunch of other commentary positions in his career. If you get a chance, you look him up on Wikipedia, and you'll see where the journey began and how it gets to where it is. But this is a really interesting story with Josh Hader coming back to the Astros. I guess he was never with the full team, but he was in the minors with them from 2013 to 2015. He's been a five-time All-Star since he last was in Houston.
Yeah, and I think it's really a perfect fit. In fact, I heard Brad Lidge on a show on MLB Radio the other day, Glenn, talking about the Astros having the best seventh, eighth, and ninth inning pitchers in the major leagues right now. And I would have to agree with that, with, of course, Brian Abreu ranking a little bit behind in career credentials, Ryan Presley, and the lefty Josh Hader. But it reminded me, too, that Lidge was part of probably the best previous bullpen that Houston ever had, with Octavio Dotel and Lidge and Billy Wagner. So it kind of brings Astros fans back to that point in time. And after that season, everybody was saying, gee, you know, this game was automatic with the lead after six innings. So certainly hoping that holds true for 2024 and beyond.
And that's the kind of signing that, wow, you know, that just energizes your fan base, right?
It does, because I think, you know, most people who are here and have followed the team realize that the Astros needed to make some bullpen moves with the losses they had from last year. And certainly Hector Neris had an excellent year last year, but he's 33. So how much more he has in the tank is subject to speculation. And Phil Maton is still out there as a free agent as well. So it's not that these guys could not rejoin the team, but they haven't to this point. So I think it was a good time to make this emphatic move with the injury to Kendall Graveman, closing the door on him for next year. It seemed to be the weakness of the team, the bullpen.
He's Bill Brown. He's been honored by the Astros organization, Houston Astros Hall of Fame. Great, iconic broadcaster in Houston here. I love how baseball does take care of the commentators. It just seems a little different.
Well, Glenn, I really appreciate your style as a broadcaster, and I think all of us who do this realize how fortunate we are to be able to do this job. And what we try to do is become a part of the community and kind of understand what the fans want and try to give them what they do want in terms of, you know, what our abilities allow us to do and the game itself allows us to do. But it's just such a thrill to be able to do this job. And it's always a challenge to try to give people something they don't know, because they do know a lot already. And also, Glenn, as you're well aware, and I want to ask you this too, in soccer, the analytics, how much of the analytics come into your job now doing soccer compared to what it was like 20 years ago?
Yeah, they've definitely changed. I think there's a lot of really good new analytics, I think. I think sometimes it can be overplayed. But look, you know, every team is trying to get the advantage they can possibly get. And, you know, the first group of people that signed analytics, you know, groups to be a part of their team, present things to coaches and players. Everybody's looking for the advantage. So it is a little bit different, but a lot of it is just a great way of validating what you see with the eye, right? You know, if I watch a game and I see, let's say for the Houston Dynamo, Nelson Quiñones beating a guy and getting behind him, I know he's successful. But then I can maybe drop in a little stat or piece of data that said he's been successful on 7 of 10 dribbles, meaning he's beaten his opposite defender or guy marking him 7 out of 10 times. So that can help validate it.
Right.
And I think that's good. I think you just have to be careful to have the balance of it. That's all.
Right. And it's that way in baseball too. And I think, you know, a lot of people I talk to as fans do not want to be bombarded with analytics right now. A lot of people I talk to feel that we've swung too much in that direction. And it's all what the fans want, really. It's not what we want or what we feel we need to tell people, not lecturing to them or anything like that. But what is interesting to them? Are they interested in the analytical part of it? Of course, now most of my friends are older. And they remember a time when there was no analytics to this extent. They want more storytelling. So there is a balance there. You're right. And it's, the problem is in finding it.
Yeah, and I think, you know, obviously gambling, Vegas, all that is playing into the analytics too. What bothers me is when I see writers, you know, writing a report about a game simply off the analytics and not having watched the game, and I think we're getting a lot of that. But I do think coaches and staffs and every professional organization now has an analytics department. The Dynamo has a good one, but they do that because, you know, they got to be competitive, and it's just another way maybe to point things out to players and trends. And I never thought I'd see somebody with laptops on the bench and looking at things, but I think that's where we are. But I want to get you into your new book. Bill Brown has a new book. It's called Baseball's Bizarre Season, Recollections of 1964. There's some names of players in there that I loved growing up, Lou Brock, Bob Gibson, Roger Maris, Mickey Mantle. Tell us about the book, Bill.
When the Astros were coming down the wire the last weekend of the season last year, I was just a fan watching, and I realized, gee, there could be a three-way tie here with the Astros in Texas and Seattle. Wouldn't that be something unusual? And, of course, the TV programmers hate that, Glenn, as you well know, because it throws everything into a complete quandary as far as scheduling and things of that nature. But fans love it. Fans love chaos. That's what we were looking at, and we all know how it turned out. But I was wondering, as I watched those games, gee, when's the last time we had this situation in baseball? I didn't really have an answer for it, but I did remember 1964, and I was a senior in high school. So I started reading about 1964, being a retired guy with not much to do, and I got fascinated by all the books that had been written about that, and I realized that was probably the best pennant race in my lifetime. And so I decided to write about it, and it turned into a book.
Take us into a little bit of what's in there, maybe one or two pieces that you like about it.
Well, I think, Glenn, the most fascinating thing is the way one team, the Philadelphia Phillies, collapsed and lost 10 in a row there starting in mid-September. The Phillies had a 6.5-game lead with 12 games to play, and they did not win. The other thing, too, is that strikes me about 1964, 60 years ago. My goodness. You know, that is such a long time. And then when you start reading about these players that you mentioned and remembering those things about them and what made them popular and how different the world was then, it just becomes something to sink your teeth into if you're a fan of history. So then I checked it out and, you know, charted the teams and what they did. And, of course, the Cardinals won that year and they beat the Yankees in 7 games in the World Series, and that was the end of the Yankees era of World Series for a long time. So there was that story. There was the story of the Cardinals, who were an ascending team but hadn't really won a World Series in a while. And then there was the story of the Reds. The Reds just materialized, and they could have won it, and then they had a horrible final weekend. So there's a lot going on there, and there were managers who both left their jobs at the end of the World Series. I don't remember a time when the winning World Series manager was offered a contract and chose not to come back with that team, and that was the case with the Cardinals. And then the Yankees fired Yogi Berra, and Johnny Keene, the Cardinals manager, took the Yankees' job. It was crazy.
Yeah, that's pretty wild. I always wondered about Yogi, you know, because a lot of people in past generations, you know, my brother once told me, you need to look up Yogi Berra's playing career, because everybody was just quoting his funny quotes and almost turned him into a bit of a comic. But if you look at his record, All-Star, World Series win, it's unbelievable what a player he was.
Oh, truly, truly unbelievable. And just one of the most knowledgeable people about baseball. And, of course, they made fun of the way he talked, and the media had a field day with that. But the man, I think that belittled his accomplishments by far. He was just an uncommonly good hitter and a very good catcher.
Talking to Bill Brown here, the name of his new book is Baseball's Bizarre Season, Recollections of 1964. Where can people purchase the book, Bill?
It's on Amazon, Glenn. It's in paperback, hardback, and an ebook. And it was a real pleasure in doing this. And it's now to the point, I know you glanced at it, I didn't give you much time to, but I'm starting to get some feedback from people who have actually read it. It's only been out a little bit more than a week. So that's interesting to hear comments about it. And I found out through this experience that there are more fans of baseball history than I thought there were.
It's pretty amazing, and you're an interesting guy because you're writing books now. By the way, you're also a very good photographer, and sometimes I see some of your pictures, and I'm like, man, he's in another nice place?
Well, you know, the beauty of being retired, it's a whole new world, Glenn, you know, so you get a chance to do things because you have time, and people are kind about teaching you and being patient with you and showing you what you're not understanding here. So that's been fun, too.
Yeah, I see where you are, and I'm like, man, what's wrong with my life? Sportscasting 101, I think, was an excellent book, and that's one that if there's any young people out there or anybody who's aspiring commentators, or even if you're a commentator, I mean, I read the book because I think it's always interesting. I always am very interested to see how other guys handle other sports, because I sit there like, you know, how's a guy calling a football game, or how's a guy doing a baseball game? Cadence, timing, you know, the game doesn't move maybe like soccer does. So Sportscasting 101 is another great book that Bill has. But I can't let you go without asking a soccer question, because I know you've snuck in a couple of broadcasts on Dynamo games. Tell me, what is it you like about soccer, or what's your perception of it?
I always, as a baseball fan, loved a 1-0 or 2-1 game because of all the subtleties that went into a game like that. You know, great defensive plays, double plays, stolen bases, pass balls, block balls in the dirt, things like that, those little things. And that's what I like about soccer. It's so difficult to score. And, you know, you kind of go with the momentum for a while and feel like one team's got the momentum. They're going to break through. They're going to take the lead, and then it doesn't happen. And maybe the other team grabs the momentum, but that doesn't mean they're going to win. And I just think it's really difficult and so good defensively to watch these teams try to operate against those good defensive soccer clubs that that's what makes it enjoyable for me.
You know what, Bill? You're coming out of retirement. You're going to be the marketing man for Major League Soccer. I'm going to promote you because you're talking. You're speaking to the choir here. It's the subtleties of the game that turns me on as well, and I know it turns a lot of people on. That was a great comment. Bill, thank you so much for coming on tonight. This has been really fun. I appreciate it. And I want to remind everybody, Bill's book is Baseball's Bizarre Season, Recollections of 1964. Get a copy of the other one. Sportscasting 101 is a great one for people that are in the industry or trying to get into the industry. Bill, thank you so much.
Thank you, Glenn. Pleasure's all mine. Good to speak with you again.
Right back at you. That's Bill Brown, 30 years, legendary play-by-play man. And I told Brian McDonald, who's a big Astros fan, Bill Brown's coming on the show tonight. I was like, I know Bill. I've gotten to know Bill the last couple of years, and it's been quite a treat for me. And you know, go look at his bio. I mean, this is humility at its best, right? All right, that's going to do it for tonight here. Great job by Guillermo Lazo Romero, our producer. You get the podcast of this at Spotify, Google, Apple. You can hit me up on Twitter and Instagram at Glenn Davis Soc, Facebook Soccer Matters, Facebook Glenn Davis. We're putting everything out here. GlennDavisSoccer.com. And also on YouTube, you can get us there, our channel there, YouTube Soccer Matters. So, likes, hits, comments, all these things help keep us on the air. And at this point, we really want a lot of that, okay? All right, that'll do it. Until next week, two more shows coming at you. I'm Glenn Davis. Remember, soccer matters.